Welcome to Up to Date. I'm Steve Kraske. The 2012 election was a long-fought battle. In the months after the 2010 midterms, huge influxes of campaign spending and a varied field of Republican candidates made Obama's road to re-election a complicated one. Now, as the president struggles with Congress and faces difficult policy questions, we take a look at how the personalities and partnerships from the campaign trail are playing out in the White House. Joining us later on in the program to talk about the campaign and the trials of Obama's second term is Jonathan Alter. He's the author of The Center Holds, Obama and His Enemies, which was published this month. But first up today, they made it. Sandy Billinger and her son Michael just completed a 570-mile jaunt across the great state of Kansas. The idea was to generate attention and $50,000 for stroke rehabilitation at the KU Medical Center. They finished up on Friday, and Sandy and Michael join me now in the studio. Dr. Sandy Billinger is an assistant professor in the Doctor of Physical Therapy program and director of the REACH Lab at the Met Center, which focuses on exercise and recovery after stroke. And Sandy, welcome. You're still alive.
I am still alive.
So good to see you.
Thank you.
And also with us is Sandy's son, Michael Thomas. Michael, good to have you, too.
Thank you. Nice to see you again.
So, Sandy, how you feeling?
Well, from the ankles up, I feel tremendous. The feet are still a little sore. I thought that over time I'd walk into shape and my feet would quit hurting. I was so wrong.
Really?
Yeah.
It got worse and worse?
Unfortunately, we were way up on a levee. Out by one of the lakes, and we had those lovely Kansas winds blowing about 50 miles an hour. And we were walking on some pretty big river rock, and I had strained my Achilles. And that was sort of the beginning of the end because I started limping a little bit.
Uh-oh.
And so I started getting blisters and things on my left foot, and it was pretty painful.
You were saying you lost a toenail, too, right?
I lost a couple of those.
Yeah.
My little toe on my left side was pretty painful. It was all blistered and started to split. And I compared it. You know, when you walk 50,000 steps a day, I mean, there was a point it was so painful. I was thinking this is almost like childbirth.
Is that right?
I thought about amputating it. It hurt that bad.
The whole thing, really.
It hurt that bad. But then eventually, I was told remove the toenail, and so I did a little. I called it on Facebook a little minor surgery, and took the toenail off as far as I could get it, and that helped quite a bit. It relieved that pressure.
Ouch. Michael, and how are you feeling?
I'm feeling pretty good.
You're just fine, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm fine.
Didn't break a sweat the whole time.
Oh, no. There were some days that were pretty tough, and those were mainly the 30-mile days.
Yeah.
And those days were tough for me just because it's the constant strain of continuously walking that far. You're just one foot in front of the other, one foot in front of the other.
Did you think you were going to lose mom a time or two? birth on going through labor like that on the trail?
Yeah, there were a few times. She struggled a little bit more than I did a few days because of her toe and whatnot. And I would get really far ahead and then notice. I'd look back and see her just kind of limping and walking.
Oh,
and
ouch.
I'd be like, all right, you know, just wait for her. But we made it as a team, so.
Yeah. Now, on face surface level, I guess, you wouldn't consider a walk across Kansas to be particularly arduous. I'm thinking because it's so flat. And, Sandy, you're here to tell me, you know, that I'm flat wrong here, right? Yeah.
Yeah. It's not as flat as you think. There's a lot of hills. It's really interesting, you know, as we watch the pictures, you know, we post pictures and see the landscape change. You know, you'd be in desert where there's no water, and that was really a hazard. We would run out of water. And so what ended up happening is my husband stayed out there for the first 3 days because there's just no water. So he'd have to bring us water or Gatorade, things like that. And so, you know, but then, you know, as we got closer to Kansas City and the Flint Hills, those are some good hills.
Yeah, and it's people don't think about it that way, but that's exactly what it is, it sounds
like.
Yeah,
and coming into Lawrence is really hilly. There were days I was, you know, 0.8 miles an hour. I was just trying to climb that hill. But, it's not flat. We have our Garmin. We'll be posting that elevation and people can see.
So it was tougher than you thought it was going to be, Michael?
Oh yeah, it was definitely a little bit tougher than I thought. It's just the constant repetitive day-to-day walking. It just takes a toll on your body. You know, we would go to bed with our feet throbbing, or just because you've been on them for 12 hours and they haven't had time to heal. You're getting up, walking again, and
yeah.
Mom kind of made the joke. We both kind of looked arthritic in the morning just because we're like, okay, come on. And you just had to get the muscles moving.
So those first steps in the morning were always pretty tough.
Oh, geez, yeah. That we, you know, you just lay in your tent. Oh, I don't want to get up. And you really, it was hard to get up and keep walking.
What time every day would you get up?
It would depend. You know, if it was really cold and just the wind was whipping, we would stay in a little bit longer. But most of the time we would try and be on the trail by about 6 or 6:30.
But we're talking Kansas in May, and here you're talking about winds whipping and cold and desert conditions, and this is something altogether different than what I thought it was going to be.
Yeah. It's,
you too.
Yeah, it really was. I mean, you know, growing up in western Kansas out in Hayes, you know, you just never know what the weather's going to do. And so we went through, you know, very dry drought conditions. I mean, when we left, it had snowed here. You know, we had that May snow, and then we head out way west, and it's 97 degrees. You know, the winds are 25 to 30 miles an hour. You know, no water, it's hot, you're not acclimated. He and I both broke out in this terrible heat rash. I was taking Benadryl. Just those things that you don't think about, you know, we're swelling because of the heat and your body's trying to retain water. You know, we get through those first few days, and then all the storms started coming. So then, you know, we're walking through, you know, rainstorms and sloshing through mud, and you know, so that was really hard, and you're looking at the weather, and then, you know, it was really nice. Our last few days, Mother Nature gave us a break, and we had really beautiful weather, but, you know, if you think about being at the lake all day and being in the sun, you know how tired you are? I mean, just imagine day after day walking in that sun and wind, so that those elements really get to you and really make you tired on top of the walking.
It was a total of, what, 23 days?
Yes, it was.
That's a long time.
Oh, yeah, especially just walking.
Yeah. And so the grand lesson from this experience is what? What's the takeaway, Michael?
One really interesting thing for me was it's a very simplistic life. You know, it's a great de-stressing to take 23 days and just walk. You know, I feel very stress-free as of right now. But it's just very simplistic. You know, you wake up, eat breakfast, pack up, walk, and then make it to your site, eat dinner, sleep.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and there's not much variation in that. You just get onto that cycle, and you know, in bed by 9, wake up around 5:30 or so, and do it all over again.
Yeah, yeah. And Sandy, how about for you? What's the takeaway?
I have two takeaway messages. One, the people of Kansas are tremendous, really generous, very heartwarming. You know, we would have people stop and ask if we needed help. Do you need some water?
Yes, we do, as a matter of fact. Yeah.
Would you like a ride? And as much as many times we wanted to say, yes, we do, we did not. You know, we got invited to people's homes for dinner. We even celebrated some birthdays with grandmas. You know, people would just invite us in, and we're so thoughtful.
And you stop by and have a meal with folks along the way sometimes?
We did. We knew there's a few people. We had some students and faculty who had family in that area. And so they said, you know, why don't you come have a good hot meal? And who's going to turn that down after eating dehydrated food for every meal? So we did have some meals, but then, you know, we were fortunate enough to, you know, get to know the families. You know, one guy just thought Michael looked a little rough, and so he bought him two big Gatorades and gave them to us. And so that would probably be my biggest take-home message is that, you know, I think people are always fearful of doing that. But, gosh, we were just welcomed with so many nice people and you know, people who knew about the Santa Fe, because we were following the Santa Fe Trail, people would take us to these sites and show us that. And probably the second take-home message is the people who came to Kansas and these early pioneers were incredibly tough. And how they survived coming across the state is just amazing, because I had a cell phone.
Mm-hmm.
I could call somebody if I was afraid of the weather.
Mm-hmm.
you know, and help, you know, literally I could find somebody somewhere that I probably could have called if I would have been in trouble.
I was going to say, you were following something called the American Discovery Trail, the Santa Fe.
Yeah, right.
You were going the opposite direction of the way the settlers came, but
yes.
I guess it, in a way it doesn't really matter. You experienced in so many ways what they experienced, and you're here to tell me it was pretty rough.
Yeah, I have a lot of respect and admiration for those people, you know, bringing their families across and basically not knowing what's on, you know, what's at the end of this road today. I mean, you know, there's a lot of exploration and just, you know, it's amazing. And,
yeah.
you know, thinking about them going through those drought conditions or the really wet conditions, I have a lot of respect for that. I earned a whole new respect for those pioneers. It's
yeah.
amazing.
If you're just joining us this morning, you're listening to Up to Date. We're visiting with Sandy Billinger and her son, Michael Thomas, who just completed a 570-mile jaunt across the state of Kansas. They were trying to raise money, raise attention for stroke rehabilitation at the KU Medical Center. If you want to join our conversation this morning with a question, 816-235-2888 is our phone number here, our email address, UpToDate@kcur.org, or you can tweet us at KCUR Up to Date. You know, Sandy, before you took off, there was video of you, I think, on your own site that showed you sort of getting ready for this walk. You were walking past, you know, my kids' old school, Westwood View. I saw some footage of you. I think Channel 5 did a story of you there, and you were in training, getting ready. Were you ready enough? Apparently, maybe not, right?
I don't think you can train your feet. I mean, from what I've heard when afterwards and when I talk to different people, they've all said that their feet are sore and stay sore. You just get used to it.
Yeah.
You know, I think, again, from the ankles up, I was ready to go. I mean, I felt really good. I didn't have any aches and pains. My pack, I had trained with a pack.
35 pounds
yeah,
or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I didn't quite train with as much weight as actually what ended up being in there, but it was enough that I was used to it. My body was used to the weight. But, you know, I don't know that I could have trained for 20-mile walks day to day to day. You know, I walked quite a bit. But, yeah, you know, I trained in my shoes. That's why I was so disappointed at after the, you know, fourth or fifth day that I was hurting so bad because I had trained so much more than I think he did.
So even after four or five days, you already were thinking, ouch, this is going to hurt.
Yeah, it was. And it didn't let up until probably the last week. You know, I had a good week and a half where I was really struggling. And like he said, I was always far behind. I'd post pictures, you know, I'd be way at the back or, you know, we'd have groups walking with us. And, you know, I was always at the tail end there for a while. So that was disappointing for me.
But you did bounce back.
I did bounce back.
The feet began to feel better.
Yeah, they did. The blisters started to heal. I actually
really?
Also changed out my shoes. I went to my really old hiking shoes that I had trained in for the most part. So the blisters and where they were rubbing when I changed shoes, the dynamics of my, you know, my feet were different. And so I was able to then start to heal up. Then the toe got better. And then I started to feel much better.
Let's take a few moments from your jaunt across the state. What was the best moment for you, Michael? When you think back on it, what was the highlight moment?
For me, honestly, it was right at the finish. And I always knew that was going to be a high point. But just seeing all the stroke survivors and them wanting to shake my hand, and you know, some of them were teary-eyed and they just told me how much they appreciated it. And
tell us where were they and what did they do? How did they get together?
So they were all just standing on state line right at the end there, and
state line and
what was it 39th?
39th by the hospital, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they were just standing there, and when we crossed through the finish line, I made an effort to go over there and talk to them, and they all, you know, walked up, shook my hand, said, thank you, we appreciate it. I got a few hugs, and that was just a really nice experience, knowing that I was, you know, they felt touched and were happy that someone was helping them, and it was just a nice experience, I think.
Yeah.
That was probably the high point for me.
How about the high point for you, Sandy?
I would say that was probably it as well. It was really touching. Yeah, the end was great. But you know, the American Stroke Foundation here in the Kansas City area had coordinated, rounding up some of the stroke survivors from their group, And they had met us for lunch, but then also at the finish line. And like I said, just the, you know, the thank yous for doing this for stroke mm-hmm. and trying to, you know, help with stroke recovery. And just, yeah. like I said, the shaking of the hands and just that gratitude of, you know, I really felt like I had done something, you know, that was more meaningful. You know, Michael and I wanted this adventure, but to see how they were touched was just... there just weren't any words. I just, you know, right, you just get goosebumps because they were so excited and so happy and so moved that we would do this that, you know, it's still,
yeah,
it's still very touching.
Michael, how about the low point for you personally?
Oh, gosh.
So many to point to. Yeah. Which one to pick?
well, probably the first 3 to 4 days for me were just awful.
Because?
I have about a 2-inch blister. I had about a 2-inch blister on my left foot where from my shoes were just rubbing in the wrong spot. And it was so painful. It was just by my heel on my left foot, and it was just excruciating. And
I'm
we had to pop it.
Because you had trained in those shoes, too, to some extent, hadn't
you? Well, those were my shoes that I had always worn for all of our other hiking trips, like when we did the Grand Canyon, Tetons. And those were just so old, but they weren't used to that many miles. And I'd never done that many miles in them back to back. And they just rubbed the wrong way.
And that formed pretty quickly, it sounds like.
Oh, yeah. It formed very quickly. And
that makes any hike just absolutely miserable. Remember when we were kids, Sandy? I don't know about you, but when I was a kid, I'm a little older than you are, but we used to buy these boots that were like made of concrete, it seemed like. Mm. They were seen to be the thing you used when you went out hiking out west. And when I would go hiking out west, I would always go in those boots. And you invariably, you're 3 miles in and you're already in pain because those things had absolutely no flexibility at all.
Yeah.
You know, how about the low point for you again?
For the people who were following our Facebook page, they're all going to laugh because it was very clear for me. I was physically and mentally, you know, kind of into it. I was very strong. And one day was my meltdown. I completely lost it.
Really?
Yeah. We were walking along the Flint Hills, and there were some areas where the grass is a little bit high. And so I noticed the ticks on my pants. And so I keep flicking them off, and I hate ticks. They just wig me out. I do not like them. And so after a while of constantly doing that, I thought I better do a quick tick check. So, you know, I had looked in the inside of my pants and they were crawling in the inside of my pant legs. They were on my socks. They were on my socks. And
that would push my button pretty well too, I think.
Yeah, I had completely lost it. That was a breaking point for me. I hadn't slept well. I couldn't mentally just after that pull it together.
Mm-hmm.
I sounded like, you know, the kid throwing the fit in the candy store.
Michael's nodding his head.
I was
remember
whining.
Remember that, Michael? Yeah.
I was whining. I was just like, I can't do this anymore. I don't want to do this. This is just awful. I'm covered, and I just hated it. They were all along my waistband. I'm just, I'm having to switch out pants because I can't figure out where they're all coming from. And I called my husband, and he's, you know, very calmly, you know, trying to, you know, you're going to be just fine. Just duct tape your pants to your shoes. And I kind of went, so I duct tape my pants to my shoes, and so they can't get in anymore. So you have to make sure you get your whole shoe covered with the pant leg and then wrap it around. Good old duct tape. But I didn't have any more in my, you know, pant legs after that.
I'm sitting here as you're describing. I'm squirming in my seat as you're describing this.
Yeah, it was awful. There were seed ticks and there was big ticks, and it was just I had. And then, you know, like not long after we got this whole thing, you know, situated, we come across this bridge, and most of them don't really bother me, but it was high enough, and there was no rail on either side, and the slats were far enough apart that I could see down.
Yeah.
So after being traumatized by the ticks and not being able to mentally compose myself, you know, I sat there and I just said, I can't cross this. I just can't cross it. And I started, you know, this whine again, and Michael's already over on the other side. And he's like, you're going to have to cross it. And I'm like, no, I'm just going to sit here until somebody comes and gets me.
And I was like, oh, do you want to go back in the ticks?
Yeah. And I said, no. So he had to come over and kind of arm and arm me across. Because I kept thinking if my walking stick falls through or my toe gets caught and the weight of my pack would you know, maybe take me one way. I didn't want to fall off. I don't like heights anyway. But it was just you know, normally I would have been able to get across it.
And that was in the Flint Hills as well?
Yeah, it's really beautiful. And it wouldn't have been a problem had I not just had my, you know, traumatic experience.
But
they were beautiful. They were absolutely beautiful. The trails were really nice. We had just come upon a section that was, you know, a little bit high in grass. And then I just, like I said, it took me a long while to kind of pull myself together. The next day I was okay, though.
What was the most beautiful part of the trip for you, Michael? The most beautiful spot that you can recall being in?
Probably the Flint Hills, yeah. I thought that was definitely the most scenic. You know, we actually had a trail, and I liked that. And I, unlike Mom here, I actually love those old wooden bridges and just... Because I thought it was really beautiful where she just despised it, I think. But it was old railroad ties, and they were just laid out. And then it was over a river, and we were in just a canopy of trees and plants growing along it. And, you know, I loved it. I just walked right across it, no problems.
Didn't
and then I looked back, and she's not crossing.
Yeah.
but, yeah, I think that was probably the most beautiful and most scenic for me, it was just the Flint Hills.
I was just down in the Flint Hills this weekend, and every time I go through there, I just love that part of our state. How about for you? What was the most beautiful spot, Sandy?
The finish line.
Without any question.
No, I would say the Flint Hills, too. You know, we got on the trail at Council Grove, you know, in that prairie and that grass, and, you know, there'd be cows, but I could just imagine buffalo, you know, on those hills. And so I think that was probably the most beautiful. I mean, there was a lot of really pretty picturesque, you know, scenery. But I think that point, the Flint Hills were just gorgeous.
Well, how much wildlife did you see along the way?
We saw quite a bit. Definitely saw some snakes. We saw, we didn't see any buffalo, did we, in the nature?
Well, at the Maxwell Preserve, we saw.
Did we?
When it was really raining and pouring, yeah, there was a few.
Oh, that's right.
Not that you'd remember.
Plenty of cows, plenty of horses. But we didn't have really any problems with snakes. That was her biggest fear. The only thing we really had problems with was we had one experience with not wild dog, but just some dogs that came up and tried to attack us, but...
Yeah, you know, Henry Fortunato from the public library was in here. He did a long walk across from here to Wichita, I think, he was in here a few weeks ago. And he talked about the dogs, too, and the key was just to absolutely ignore them and sort of let them do their thing and just sort of keep on walking. How did you deal with the dogs? Because that would be unnerving to me, too.
Yeah, for the most part, you know, they just bark and then they get, you know, they'd act like they're coming at you. Then they'd go to their property line and just stop and bark. And you'd just keep walking or you'd look at them. And that was, for the most part, was really the way we handled it. We got to one small town and we were greeted by three dogs. One was a one-eyed pug. And so, you know, they came running out at us, and we kind of just waved our arms because they were really coming at us, and waved our arms and our stick, and they ran off. But as we got closer to their property, they came back. The pug just wanted somebody to pay attention to it. There's a really big dog, but the stick, I think, kept it at bay. But there's another medium-sized dog who was very aggressive. You know, we kept trying to scare him away and kept walking, but he wasn't letting up. So I took out some bear spray that we had and just kind of gave a warning, you know, shot in the area of the dog, thinking that would be enough of a deterrent. But he came back even more mad and wrapped behind Michael and nipped at his pants, and then that was it. He got a full spray.
And the spray did it then?
Oh, yeah. He started to sneeze and... you know, wipe his nose in the grass and kind of rolled around.
Yeah.
And so we didn't get him full, you know, enough, but enough that he left us alone.
Yeah.
But other than that, most of the dogs were either just wanting some attention or just check you out. And that's probably the good advice, was to keep walking.
Well, Nicole writes us this: my teenage daughter Phoebe and her friend met them in DeSoto, Kansas. She found it very inspiring. Walking the entire distance would be a bit much for us, but we're now looking into the idea of biking across Kansas in the event there. So, yeah.
Well, thank you. That's great.
Well, I'm glad you guys made it. Thanks for coming back.
Yep.
Congratulations on making the entire 570 miles.
Thank you.
You bet. That's Dr. Sandy Billinger and her son, Michael Thomas. More information about your trip on your Facebook page, right?
They can go to the Facebook page. page or the walkacrosskansas.com. They can look at why we did it. But, yeah, they can click the Facebook link.
Okay. Sounds good. Well, let's take a break. When we come back, we'll visit with Mark Davis from The Star about the big upcoming, apparently the big upcoming sale involving Sprint. And later on this hour, we'll visit with our good friends from Newsweek magazine, Jonathan Alter, about his new book, The Center Holds Obama and His Enemies. I'm Steve Kraske of the Kansas City Star, and you're listening to Up to Date on KCUR.